Good to see everybody's here today. This is, of course, 4th of July weekend, and I've noticed over the years that this week tends to be, if not the biggest vacation week, one of the biggest that we have, naturally so. And this time, it became an easy thing to have a long weekend, so I know a number of folks went out of town. But anyway, good to see everybody that's here. We do have visitors, and that's a really good thing. We're glad you're here. Kind of fill out the place. So good to have you here, and welcome everyone. James was talking about being a great uncle for the first time. I had that experience last year, and boy, did I feel old. But anyway, no, it's a wonderful thing. I was thinking last night, and I was talking to Montel a little bit about this. I read about so many churches around the country that, you know, that membership is growing older. They're kind of contemplating, you know, a few years are going to go by, and, you know, as a natural course of things, they're going to lose people, and what are they going to do, you know? We don't have that problem here. It's an amazing thing. When I talk to different preachers, different people around the country, and I start talking about how many babies we have here, how many children we have here, how many have been born just, and man, we could even say just in the last few months, that's an amazing thing. We are really blessed at this place, and I hope you feel that. Obviously, we welcome Edwin and Hannah's new baby. Jaritza is here with her new baby, and there are other children here, several of whom, that are not even, of members here, that are not even a year old. So it's a wonderful thing. Love hearing all these children. And the crying. People ask me, what about all this crying? It doesn't bother me one bit. I think it's fantastic. So I love it. As we get into quarter three, as James was talking about, perfect song to kick off quarter number three, walking in newness of life. I love that line, I am free. I love that line out of that song, Buried with Christ. This quarter, we are going to emphasize, remember not who, but what you are. This is a very interesting part of James 1, and it's one of the things that really intrigues me about this passage. I'll talk more about that as we examine it this morning. But remember what you are. As we get into the lesson, let's remember that we started off in quarter 1 with the phrase, gaze into the mirror. That comes from verse 25 of James 1, where he says, but whoso looketh, and that word look means, and sometimes it's translated, looks intently, stares at, gazes into, and I love that, so I chose gaze into the mirror. But it's the idea of taking an honest look at yourself. Taking an honest look at myself by looking into the Word of God. We have pictured it literally as, here is the mirror, I'm looking in here, I'm saying, what do I see? What do I need to be? What am I supposed to be? How do I want to change to be what I see in this mirror? Taking an honest look. And then we moved to the idea last quarter of what can be the most difficult part of this four-step process. And because really it is, it can be because this is what is taking place mentally. It's not so much the actions we take, and that's what we're going to emphasize again this quarter, some very practical actions that we take, but it was the idea of receiving the engrafted word. Wes just talked about that last Sunday, really stressing that again, where it becomes, the word of God becomes part of you, so that you don't, as we move into this quarter, so that you don't forget, you remember. But receive the engrafted word. Let the word of God take root in your heart so that it then in turn can guide your life. And again, we're not talking about, we can be talking about anything. When we start speaking of remembering what you are, recalling from the word of God that I am a Christian every day, we're not just talking about doctrines such as the Lord's Supper or worshiping God as we've just done in song and prayer and our giving and so forth. We're not just talking about that. We are talking about it, but that's not all. Nor are we simply talking about the morality that we live. You know, if a person is a liar, they need to change that. As Paul said, putting away lying, speak the truth. If you're lying, if you're cheating, if you're stealing, if you're fornicating, if you're doing all of those kinds of things, you obviously need to change from that morality to the morality of God. But we're not just talking about that.
We can be talking about certain things like, as I have so much in these lessons, we can be talking about taking an honest look at yourself and saying, you know what? You need to lose a couple of 100 pounds if you're going to be the person you really want to be. If you want to be a better husband, be a better father, be a better preacher, obviously be a better Christian. We can be talking about that. We can be talking about anything, whether it's getting your budget in order or learning the Word of God or anything that has to do with life, making positive change in your life, remembering what you are. I've looked into the mirror. I've seen the person I should be, I want to be. I've made the decision to be that. I've focused on the Word of God, and I'm continuing to do that so that it will guide my life, and now I need to remember. So as we move through this quarter, this is the kind of thing we're going to be talking about. Notice James says, not a forgetful hearer. Let me paraphrase slightly, but this is almost a verbatim quote. What James is saying in these three verses that will guide our theme this quarter, for a hearer only, if that's all I am, if I'm the person, and I know exactly what this feels like, so please don't misunderstand. If I'm the person that is coming to church, for example, and I'm hearing something in a sermon, and I do nearly every sermon that's ever preached, do I hear something I know that I need? If I'm hearing that, and if I ever find myself sitting on a pew saying, I need to do that, I need to be that, that's a change I need to make, or that's something I need to be better at. If I ever find myself doing that, and then, let's say that I preach something this morning and something that touches a chord in your heart, and you say that kind of thing, and then you go away from here, and immediately you begin to think about, what are we having for lunch? The Braves are playing at 1:35, incidentally. But the Braves are playing at 1:35 today. Or whatever it is. And you get caught up in that, and before you know it, you've forgotten really to pay attention to what it was that was really tugging at your conscience an hour ago. And you go through your afternoon, and it turns into going through your evening and going through tomorrow. You're getting up, getting ready for work, school, whatever it might be. And before you know it, the whole week has gone by, and it's almost like, what was that again that was said in that sermon? That's what James is speaking of. A hearer only. He's like a man who observes his natural face in the mirror. Remember, we've talked about this before. Where you go to the mirror and you look at it and you see exactly what needs to be changed. Several people have remarked how I do this, but I'll do it once again. You go to the mirror, you look in the mirror, you see the cowlick sticking up like this. You know you need to change that. The phone rings, you run to the phone, you keep getting ready, etc. You never go back and look at the mirror, and when you walk into wherever you're going and people start laughing, you wonder why they're laughing. It's because the cowlick is still doing this. That's a hearer only. He observes his natural face in a mirror. He sees himself, he goes away. And I want you to notice this. He goes away and directly. The reason I translate it that way is because the word that's used here has the idea of linear, going from one point to the next. The one point is when I'm really thinking about it. I'm considering it. I know it. The next point is when I've moved to such a place or time that I've forgotten it. He directly forgets. And then notice the phrase, we'll really pay attention to this during this quarter. Maybe not so much this morning, but we will. Not who he is, but what kind of person, what kind of man he is. And really not who he is, but notice this, who he was. He directly forgets what kind of man he was. And the natural question would be, he was when? And so we'll ask that and we'll explore that. But we will come back to that point. Let's break it down for a moment, make it simple. I know that I'm a Christian. I know that I was, in my particular case, I was baptized February the 6th, 1977. It's a date that will always stick out in my mind. It's an exact point in time when I was, James, buried with Christ. And I knew when I came up out of the water that there was supposed to be newness of life every day. I know I'm a Christian. And I know I'm supposed to be one every day. Let's read a couple of verses. We won't spend time really in commentary, but they make the point themselves. Look with me at Psalm 61. In Psalm 61, the psalmist, David, obviously, the king, he's talking about who he is, the place he is to serve before God. And I'm not going to read all of this, but I want you to look at the last verse of Psalm 61 when he says, "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever." And again, those of you that have really been doing this with me, the long-term goal, I'm going to do that forever. That's my ultimate goal of being a Christian, that literally forever I'm going to praise God. But I want you to notice how he breaks it down into the short-term goal here. "So will I praise unto thy name, sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Here's the idea of the decision that's been made. I know what I need to do, not just in 20 years or at the end of my life, but I know what I need to do today. I will perform my vows today. And that can be your vows as far as marriage are concerned. It can be the commitment that you made to Christ when you were buried with Him and you did become a Christian. It can be the goals, the mission you've set for yourself, maybe this year with some particular thing in your life that you need to change, even if it's as simple as, and I was joking with the folks downstairs this morning, I said, you know, a short-term goal can be as simple as, and has been for me, I will not eat a candy bar today. And it's as simple as that. I will perform my vows daily. That's the idea of I know I need to be a Christian every day. And it breaks down really sometimes into what you literally will do over the course of the next 5 minutes. I know I need to be a Christian every day. You think about Luke 9:23. I'm not going to turn there, but I'm sure you can quote it. We need to take up our cross daily if we're going to be a disciple of Christ. Take up the cross, make the sacrifices, which is always involved in making change in your life. And you need to do that daily. Or like those in Acts 17, the Christians who were noble. And they searched the Scriptures daily. And we need to do that. The idea of searching is investigating. I need to see what is there, and I need to see what's there for me. When we talk about gazing into the mirror, we're not talking about doing a light reading of the Bible. And that's a good thing. You should read the Bible. And it is helpful to read the Bible. But we're talking about much more than that. We're talking about that meditating. We're talking about that investigating of the Scriptures daily to see what is there for me. How does it apply to me? How does that verse affect me as a husband or wife or mother or father, as a child of my parents, a student? How does it affect me as a friend to someone? Search the Scriptures daily. You know, when we look at this, we understand, I know I need to be a Christian, and I need to be one every day, but the question is, how do I keep that in the forefront of my mind? Which is a word I'll probably use a lot this quarter. The forefront of my mind. That is, right in front of my face. How do I not forget? How do I not get caught up in whatever it is that I get caught up in so that I forget what manner of man I was just a few moments ago, maybe, when I was seriously looking at myself in a different way? How do I not forget? You know, I think about the fact that James in this passage, and I want you to look at James 1 very carefully, and when you go away from here, really think about what he's saying. I don't think James is talking about intentionally forgetting. Now, some people may disagree with that, but I don't believe he is. I don't think James is saying this is the person that is willfully ignorant, or in this case, willfully forgetful. I'm not convinced of that. I think the very fact that the person gazes into the mirror, the very fact that the person contemplates who he's supposed to be. Now, we're talking about an individual that's decided to change. We're talking about an individual that wants to change. He's not intentionally forgetting, but the problem is he is forgetting. When you consider, and I want you to look at Romans 17, Romans 17. Romans, there is no Romans 17. Let's try 7. Romans 7, and you think about this somewhat of a tongue twister of a passage that I think Paul applies personally here to himself. And I think about the way he says this down in verse 18. When he says, and especially at the latter part of the verse, he says, "For to will is present with me." And regardless of what the passage, the context may be talking about, certainly that principle applies to every one of us. I think every Christian could say, every real committed Christian could always say, the will that I have, what I want to do, is always present with me to be perfect for my Lord. If I were to ask each faithful person here this morning, each person here who is really trying to live a Christian life, if I were to ask you, do you want to be perfect? Not do you think you can be, do you want to be perfect? Do you never want to sin again? If you could choose right now, if there were some kind of magic pill or whatever it might be that you could take so that you would never make another mistake, never commit another wrong, would you do it? I think every Christian would say yes. I don't want to sin. And I believe Paul is saying that too. To will is present with me. It's always right there. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Here's the person that's not intentionally forgetting, not intentionally going back, not intentionally failing, not intentionally not achieving their goals. They want to change, but it just isn't happening. They're not changing. They are forgetting. They find themselves too many times saying to themselves, "Why did I just do that? Why did I forget what I decided an hour ago to do?" And I believe that's what James speaks of in this passage. Intentionally forgetting is different from what James is talking about. In fact, the natural threat to any of us is what I believe James is addressing. It's what occurs naturally. It's what happens to me even though I do not want it to happen. And the whole point this quarter, you might say, okay, well, where are you going with this? Well, here's where I'm going. The whole point of this quarter is remember what you are, not don't forget. We'll talk about the forgetting, but we want to concentrate on remembering. So how do I remember? I may not ever be I won't ever be perfect at it. But how do I get better at it? There are people that I know that are living successful Christian lives, and some of them more successful than me, so how do I get there? How do I go from where I am to where I want to be? That's what we're talking about this year. And how do I overcome the threat, the natural threat to forget? Recalling that I'm a Christian every day, let's remember what the Bible actually says. I want to think of Paul, continue to think of it. And it may seem interesting to you, and may not be interesting, but I think it is, that at the same virtual time that Paul said what he said in Romans 7, to will is present with me, how to perform it, I don't find. How can I be like I really want to be, which is perfect? It may surprise you that at roughly the same time, Paul made a couple of kind of odd statements. One of them is, he just very plainly says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, now I think this has to do with apostleship, but the point is, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And really the point there, the application, you're not an apostle, neither am I, but I am what I am. God made me this person. And there's some faults that I have. There are some failures that have reared up in my life that really need to be overcome. But there are also a lot of strengths. There's some talent. There's some ability. That's true of every one of us in here. All of us could do that SWOT analysis from quarter one. What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What are the opportunities I have? What are the threats? One of the greatest threats is what James was talking about, going your way and forgetting. That's a threat. But the idea in this passage, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is just making a blunt statement. By the grace of God, I am, notice, what I am. And I think that's a realization that all of us have to come to. I am what I am. And really, by God's favor, I am what I am. That person might look at the failures in their life and they may say, God hasn't been favoring me too much. Or He hasn't been blessing me too much. That's exactly what Satan would like for you to think. That's how he wants you to believe. But the truth is, if I'm still breathing, that's a blessing. That's a favor from God. The truth is, if I've got the opportunity to change, that's a great blessing from God. That's a great favor from God. The truth is, if I am contemplating and being encouraged and motivated, whether it's by this theme this year or any host of a number of things, to be a better person than I am, then that's a favor from God. God has not abandoned me if I have the opportunity to move from where I am to what I want to be. God is working with me. God has not turned His back on me. God has not given me over to whatever it is. I don't have to remain in this position where I don't want to be. So Paul is saying, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And there's a lot there to think about in that statement. I'll tell you another interesting statement. Go with me to Acts 26. At the same time, Paul is saying, to will is present with me, but how to perform it I find not. Paul is also standing before Agrippa in Acts 26, as was just read. He's standing before Agrippa, and notice what he says in verse 29, and let's really focus on this. Paul said, I would to God that not only you, Agrippa, Agrippa said, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. Well, I would to God, wish to God, that not only you, but everybody that hears me, and I take it he was standing before a considerable crowd, everybody that's listening to me, and notice the phrase, we're both almost and altogether. You know, you can translate that or break it down into what is really being indicated in this verse. And what Paul is saying is, to the smallest detail and in the overall sense, I wish everybody were just like me. You might tend to, whoa, Paul, wait a minute. What about Romans 7? What about those things that make you feel like a, quote, miserable wretch? I think you have to understand that what Paul is saying is, that's everybody. That's every faithful Christian. If you think that you are going to be perfect, flawless, sinless, for any point of the rest of your life, then you're just grossly mistaken. If I listen to John in 1 John 1, if I understand what John is saying, if I say that I have no sin, if I say that I have not sinned, well, I make God a liar. The truth is not in me. I deceive myself. Paul is saying in Romans 7, I've got a long way to go. No matter how long I live, I will always say that. Because I want, ultimately, to be perfect. I've compared it downstairs in my class to this. Long time ago, when I was a young man, I knew this guy, and he ran these tests, and he ran a fitness center, and I kind of get close to him and all of that. I took one of these tests, like athletes do, to measure your body fat. I know down to the tenth of a pound, at least when I was younger, down to a tenth of a pound what I'm supposed to be at 0% body fat. Now, I'll let you guys in on a secret. I'm not there, okay? But I know to the tenth of a pound what ultimately, ideally, would be zero body fat. If I wanted to get into world-class athlete shape, I mean where I'm under 4% body fat, where I've virtually got none, I know exactly what that is. Ultimately, ideally, if I keep on this track I'm on, I'm going to set that as my ultimate ideal goal. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to be pushing for it. Because I'm not going to get there. I understand that. How to perform that, how to get this body to 0% body fat, I don't know that I could ever do that. Certainly not at 55 years old. you know what? When I back off from that and I start putting those goals down there of getting better and better and more and more and more in shape and eating better and better, and I can do that. And that's what I think Paul is talking about in Acts 26. Because I can look any day that I go through a day and I really work hard at doing what I'm trying to achieve. I have a day where I eat right. I have a day where I exercise right. I have a day where I'm doing everything I need to do that is getting me from where I still am to where I want to be. I could look at anybody and I could say, I wish to the smallest detail and in the overall sense you were just like I am. And that's true of weight loss. It's true of Bible study. It's true of anything in life that is a good thing. How to perform perfection? I've never found that. It doesn't mean I'm not striving for it. In fact, I think what Paul is getting at is, I know who I am. And we know who we are. And we need to remember it every day. Let's go back to the passage and we'll close by reviewing this passage. But being ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way and directly forgets what manner of man he was. But he who gazes into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, he's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 13, it's interesting in this passage that describes this vision John saw. And in chapter 7, down in verse 13, I want you to notice the question. It's a very interesting one. One of the elders asked John, or answered John, saying to him, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now notice verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. When you look at this passage, what you see is an active Christian. You see a person who has gotten to where he needs to be by doing what he knows he needs to do. That's what we're talking about. In fact, when we look at this passage in James 1, we ask questions like, what do I need to do to remain who I want to be? I may have set some goals, like having a New Year's resolution, you know, and that first two or three days, you really go at it, man. How do I keep doing it? How do I get into February and March still doing what I know I need to do? What's the difference? How do you carry it over? How do you make it part of your life? What are some practical suggestions that can be made to help me in what I'm trying to do? What good habits can I form? What can I do? When you look back at this passage in James 1, notice the emphasis in this passage. There is the beholding yourself. You're looking at yourself. You're seeing yourself. And I know a lot of people do that. You see the faults, you see the flaws, you see the cowlick. You know what needs to be changed. What you need to do, if you have not done it, is go beyond that and gaze. This is the person who doesn't take the quick look in the mirror and get distracted by the phone. This is the person that stands at the mirror. And that's where it has to start. I've told you, and I will tell you yet again very quickly. What started for me, I know the day. What started for me was going into the bathroom, and instead of looking at it, we've got a mirror on the door and one in front of us. And instead of looking at the mirror and saying, man, you need to change this. You really need to stop this. I didn't just leave it at that. I looked. And I gazed into that mirror. And I made myself see the truth. And that's the difference. That's where it starts. But you notice it can't just end there. Look at this passage and look at the emphasis. Doers, a doer, he continues. a doer of the work. You set your goals. Now you got to have a plan of action. You got to do it. And that's the hard part, isn't it? It's easy for me to sit down and say, okay, what's it going to take? Cut out the candy bars, walk, you know, all those. It's easy for me to do that. Then you got to do it. And you got to do it when you feel like it and when you don't. When it's hard, when it's not. You got to do it. And you got to do it day after day after day. And just like I've just come through again. And we're going to talk about that this quarter. You're going to hit plateaus. You're going to go through periods of time where it doesn't seem like you're really making any progress at all. And Satan is going to beat on you hard during that time. Just quit. You're not getting anywhere anyway. How do you keep going? What are the practical suggestions we might make to make it happen? That's what we're looking at this quarter. Because I'm going to make a change. For once in my life, it's going to feel real good. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make it right. I'm starting the man in the mirror. And I'm asking him to change his ways. That's our emphasis this quarter. Change his ways. No message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. Are you here this morning? Not a child of God, you have not begun to really make the changes in your life you need to make. The first great step that you take toward change is coming to the Lord. Because you need His help. You need His strength. You need Him to help you to endure the process of change. If you believe in Him that He's the Son of God, confess that belief. If you want to repent, you want to make a change, then make the decision right now to do that. Be baptized. Wash away all your sins. Everything in your past that's not right, wash it away. Let the blood of Christ cleanse you of every stain. Maybe you're here today and you've been baptized. There was a time when you made that decision. But you've grown away, wandered away, walked away from the Lord. And you need to come back. Will you do that? Will you please come while we stand together?